4:36 in the world today. Well, the one thing we do know about pipelines is that they do leak. There is no leak-proof system. But there's been a lot of debate and finger-pointing and back and forth about just how much oil has leaked from pipelines in this country. Well, Sean Courage is an assistant professor of history at Toronto's York University, who actually sat down and did the research, the historical research, into the frequency and severity of pipeline oil spills in Alberta and across Canada. We caught up with him earlier today to find out what he's discovered.
Counting up numbers of historical data is something a historian does from time to time, and I've been looking into the history of oil pipeline spills across primarily Canada's national network of oil pipelines that is regulated by the National Energy Board, and Alberta's oil pipelines, which is regulated by the Energy Resources and Conservation Board. Just in the recent past, we can see on oil pipelines that cross provincial borders and international borders, those regulated by the NEB, between 2009, there were 427 separate liquid hydrocarbon releases, different pipeline breaches of some kind, totaling about 10.1 million liters of oil spilled across the network over that nine-year period. In the province of Alberta, between 2006 and 2010, there were 1,647 pipeline failures with a total of 27.7 million liters of oil spilled.
27.7 million liters of oil over what period of time?
2006 to 2010.
So just 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, that's right. And in 2010 alone, there was a pipeline failure on Alberta's network once every 1.4 days on pipelines carrying crude oil or multi-phase pipelines which carry distillates and gas.
Well, we often hear about, obviously, the big oil spills and the ones that do a lot of environmental damage. But on an individual basis, how damaging are these spills?
Well, it's quite variable. You're right, there are these more catastrophic spills that we read about in the news, and they rightly capture a lot of attention. The total volume here that I quoted some of these numbers includes everything from very small spills of fewer than 10 barrels of oil to very large incidences like the one that occurred in Little Buffalo, Alberta last year, which was estimated to be about 28,000 barrels of oil. So it spans the full spectrum of quantity of volume of liquid hydrocarbon spills.
Well, the debate here in British Columbia, of course, revolves around the Enbridge pipeline proposal and also one by Kinder Morgan. And I'm curious, the spills that you looked into, were they spills of what I would call regular crude oil, or were these spills of the bitumen type heavy oil from the oil sands in Alberta?
That's a good question. It's not always easy to determine from publicly available data from the regulators. Often the volume and the product type is simply described as liquid hydrocarbon, so that could be anything from light sweet crude to the more heavy oil products like the diluted bitumen products that are proposed to be transmitted across the Northern Gateway pipeline. So the short answer is, I don't know in all cases, so I have to sort of generalize as liquid hydrocarbon spills.
Did you come to any conclusions about why these spills occurred? Again, the big spills that have caught a lot of public attention lately, the Kalamazoo spill in Michigan there that the National Transportation Safety Board was highly critical of Enbridge for that. But through your research, have you come to any conclusions as to why and how these spills occur?
Well, in the recent past, say in the last 15 years, the data seems to show that one of the predominant causes of pipeline spills is corrosion on the network. But there are a number of different causes, from technical error to environmental changes. So erosion from rain, for instance, in 1971 caused the breach of the Trans Mountain Pipeline, which is the pipeline that connects Edmonton to Burnaby. And that was about a 5,000-barrel oil spill just south of Merritt. So there are a number of variables that can cause these kinds of pipeline breaches, ruptures, and failures. But corrosion, at least in the recent past, seems to be a predominant cause of oil pipeline spills.
And is corrosion simply a maintenance issue?
It can be. I mean, an engineer would be able to give you a better answer, but this is a breakdown of the material of the pipeline itself. But you can also have spills at valves and gaskets along the pipeline. The NEB breaks down its data on corrosion based on the segment of the particular pipeline. But this is something associated with aging, but it can also be associated with the pressure of that particular pipeline. So a higher pressure pipeline causes greater friction, which could cause quicker or rapid erosion. But typically, I see historically this being a reflection of an aging pipeline.
Sean Courage, Assistant Professor of History at York University in Toronto. And when we come back from the break, are we just going to, if pipelines are going to be built, and certainly there are already pipelines in British Columbia, but if there are going to be new ones built, do we simply have to accept the fact that there are going to be oil spills? Is that just part of the package? We'll get into that with Sean Courage coming up. Now, more with our guest, Sean Courage, Professor of History at Toronto's York University, talking about the work that he's done, the research he's done, into the frequency and severity of pipeline oil spills in Alberta and indeed in Canada. Now, Enbridge has made promises that their pipeline, if it's built across northern BC, will be state-of-the-art, will be full of safety backups and what have you, trying to put the best face possible on it, obviously. Do you think that, given your research, that there is that British Columbians can take much comfort in that?
Well, the historical research that I've done has gone right back into the 1960s. Canada's pipeline network began to expand in a transcontinental fashion beginning in the 50s. But since the 1970s, right up to the present, there have been persistent and endemic, as I've described it, oil spills on the pipeline network, even with what was considered the state-of-the-art technology. If we take, for example, the spill that occurred near Elk Point in Alberta earlier this summer, that was on a pipeline that was constructed in 1999, not a particularly old pipeline like the Trans Mountain or the Interprovincial Pipeline, which are mid-20th century pipelines. So even in incidences where you have relatively new pipelines, failure can still happen. So this is why I try to get across the point that these pipeline systems aren't safe. They're risky, like all systems for transporting hazardous materials. The technologies that we apply to them can help us mitigate those risks and make them less dangerous, but ultimately the communities that are in the paths of these proposed pipelines need to weigh the risks with some accurate historical data to give them better information. And the historical data shows that there isn't a leak-proof system.
There is no leak-proof system, indeed. The Kinder Morgan proposal is also gaining some attention and, I guess, some traction as well. And as you know, they want to double their pipeline between Burnaby and Alberta. Give us an idea of their spill history, and is it any better or worse than anybody else's?
Well, I'm just starting to look at the Trans Mountain Pipeline. This is the pipeline that Kinder Morgan operates through British Columbia. That's one of the oldest interprovincial pipelines in Canada. It was completed in 1953. It passes through Jasper National Park, and it terminates in Burnaby at the refineries on the shores of Burrard Inlet. Mm-hmm. That pipeline has historically had catastrophic oil spills. As I mentioned, in 1971, there was a particularly large, roughly 5,000-barrel oil spill in Merritt, or just south of Merritt. But that pipeline has other oil spill issues associated with transshipment via oil tankers. In 1964, one of the first oil tanker spills occurred off the coast of Bowen Island. A tanker sunk to the bottom of Howe Sound and leaked oil onto the beaches of Bowen Island. So the Trans Mountain Pipeline, operated by Kinder Morgan, does have a history of oil spills, like most large pipeline systems across Canada.
But you're reaching pretty far back. I think you said 1964 and 1971. Those, you know.
That's right. Yeah, but we don't have to go too far back to look for a Trans Mountain spill. Just in 2010, as many Burnabites will know, there was a spill right in Burnaby into the streets of the city on the Trans Mountain pipeline.
Yeah, no doubt. And I guess the company also went to court as part of that thing, although it was a private contractor, I think, who actually dug up the pipe and created the spill. But
right.
I think Kinder Morgan also had to be in court over that as well. I guess the upshot of all of this is that, yes, there is a risk of running pipelines anywhere? And is it simply a matter of if British Columbians want these pipelines to go through, either or both, that at some point we simply are going to have to accept that there is going to be a spill of some size?
I think that's correct. I mean, the community is debating whether or not to permit a pipeline to pass through British Columbia, or engaged in an exercise of risk assessment, and it's a cost-benefit exercise. And so essentially, British Columbians are trying to determine whether or not there is an acceptable risk associated with oil pipeline construction. The danger, I think, is to falsely assume that there is a risk.
Professor, we appreciate you taking out the time to join our program. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sean Courage, Assistant Professor of History at York University in Toronto.